Hi, my name is Joey Fite from thephysicaleducator.com.
And I'm Nathan Horn from iphys-ed.com.
And this is the Phys Ed Podcast. Nathan, how's it going?
Good, Joey. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little tired, but I'm good. I just got back from Wisconsin last night. I spent an extra night in Wisconsin, but it's all good. I'm home and I'm happy.
Yeah, I know you've been a pretty busy fellow the last few weeks. I've been keeping up with your travels and your antics on Twitter. So you seem to have had your hands full for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know what? It's been amazing. When I signed on to do these keynotes, so I was. For those of you listening, I was in Nova Scotia last week for the TAPE, which is the Teacher Association in Physical and Health Education of Nova Scotia, for their provincial conference. And then just these past few days, I've been in Wisconsin for the WHPE, the Wisconsin Health and Physical Education Association, for their convention. And it's been a blast, but just back-to-back keynotes like that, I was like, it took a lot of energy. I'm super pumped because like I love Nova Scotia and I absolutely love Wisconsin. But yeah, it drains you.
It does. Yeah, no, I know. I definitely know the feeling. I had a pretty similar situation in September where I had, the ACHPA, Australian Council of Health and Physical Education, Recreation, Tasmania State Conference, back in my home state. So that was really cool to go to that, but that was left school on Thursday afternoon, flew overnight and landed Friday morning, went straight from the airport to, presenting a keynote. Which was pretty difficult after an overnight flight. then all day there, had the dinner, flew back to Singapore the next day, and then had our athletic sports day a few days after that. And then just after that, the next week, flew to Vietnam and spent three days out of school there doing some consulting work. So I definitely know the feeling. It was a pretty crazy couple of weeks, very stressful. But once it was done, it was... I looked back and it was a very rewarding experience. So it's always good to get out there and sort of meet some other people within the field. And just, I always find that's the most valuable thing, just those conversations that you have with people who are in either similar or very different situations than you are.
Absolutely. Hey, tell me a little bit about the conference in Tasmania. Cause I just think that's really cool that you got to go back to your home state and present in front of teachers. And I'm assuming you knew some of the teachers there too.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. It was, I don't know. It's sort of the people who are running the ACHPA, on the committee this year, a lot of them are people that I went to university with or were sort of a year above me at university. And they are they're active on social media. And I think they sort of took a look at what was happening out there in the world and how different conferences were using social media. And I know they definitely looked at, the PE Institute and what Artie was doing there and thought about, well, we're a pretty, like, Tasmania's a pretty small place. There's only, I think like 500,000 people in the whole state. So there's probably 150, 200 PE teachers in the state. So it's a pretty small population. And so they thought, well, how can we sort of like make this bigger than what it normally is? Because I think, I mean, to be honest, I'd never been to that conference when I was living in Tasmania when I was a student. Like, I didn't even know anything about it. So it was a pretty small thing, but they did a really good job of sort of getting some people in. They asked me to come in. They asked a couple of people to come from Melbourne who were doing some really good stuff there. And they got like, there was, I think in the day session, they had 180 people. So when you consider that there's probably only 200 and 250 PE teachers in the state, the fact that they could get, you know, almost three quarters or more than three quarters of the teachers in the state to the day conference on a Friday was a pretty, pretty cool experience. So yeah, they just asked me to come down there and talk about sort of my journey, and how I, you know, I went to that university and then pretty much left Tasmania soon after and have taught in the UK and Cambodia and Italy and now Singapore, and sort of just give people a bit of a perspective on what's out there, because I think any time that you come from a small place, it's really easy to get stuck in that small town mentality and you just get stuck doing the same things again and again and again the way you've always done it. So to sort of get a different perspective from somebody who's I guess grown up in that with that sort of culture was really cool. And yeah, there was a few of my very close friends in the audience who were doing their best to try and distract me as I was doing my my keynote, which was not good. But it was a great day, and I can only commend the organizers again, like Tim Medwin and Anthony Coe and Anne Sheehan and Vaughan Cruikshank and all the other people from Atchipatazz. They just did such a sensational job at organizing a really professional and well-run conference that I think, I'm going to say it was a real watershed moment for PE and in Tasmania. Definitely. I think a lot of people went away from that, conference really sort of, inspired and impassioned to go out there and really make a difference for kids in the state. So yeah, it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's
so great being able to connect with the teachers where you're from. And, you know, here we have our provincial APEC conference and getting to see people that you went to university with. That's really funny that your friends are trying to distract you, though. That'd be really annoying.
Yeah, no, it was good. I got to do two sessions while I was there. So I did, like, the first one was a sort of a keynote session on meaningful technology integration. And I took a little bit of a different approach to it than I have in the past, and sort of, I would say probably the 30 minutes of it, I didn't focus on technology at all. I just sort of looked at, you know, the state of physical education as it is, and looking at curriculum and stereotypes and stuff like that. And I think by doing that, I sort of framed the rest of the keynote in a really good way, and got my message across to people in terms of the fact that, you know, technology shouldn't just be a fancy shiny thing that they use, but it should actually link to their curriculum and link to the learning outcomes and the things they want to do. So I think that was really good. And then I got a chance to do another session, which was a practical one in the gym, looking at the sport ed unit I did and some of the technology tools that I used for that. And that was really good as well. But I had too many people, which was I was shocked by. There was, I think, about 50 or 60 people there in the gym. So it made it a little bit more difficult than what I'd planned for, but it was still a good session. And yeah, then they had the night session as well. And so they had a couple of keynote speakers at the night and dinner and drinks and stuff. So yeah, it was a really, really good day.
Awesome. Glad it went well for you.
Yeah. So what about you? You were, like, your first one was in Nova Scotia. What did you present on there?
You know, I went out to TAPE, and it was in Sydney, Cape Breton. So if you're not familiar with Nova Scotia, so Nova Scotia is like a peninsula, and then there's an island that's part of it that's called Cape Breton. Cape Breton is just a beautiful, beautiful place. And I'd never been to Sydney before, so that was really cool. Took the tiniest plane from Halifax to Sydney. It was really, really small. But no, you know, everybody out east is – Maritimers are just the nicest people. And getting to meet, like, you know, Steve Ronnie and the rest of the team at TAPE was just really, really special. And getting to present it at that conference too, because like I said in my keynote, so my keynote was on, it was the Welcome to the Phys Ed Revolution keynote.
Yep.
And I was talking about just everything that's going on online and why it's so important for teachers to get online and start bringing value to the community so we can all raise the bar together. But in the keynote, I was talking about the fact that, you know, my girlfriend Jess, she's from Nova Scotia, so we actually spend quite a bit of time throughout the year in the province. So it was really fun, even though it not like you, where it was like your home state, but it did feel like I was coming home in some sense, because it is my home away from home. So getting presented there, it was just awesome. It was a ton of fun. I gave that session. I gave my Twitter 101 session. So I was helping people sign up for Twitter, and it was really cool too. A lot of teachers did sign up, and a lot of teachers were tweeting throughout the conference. And then I gave my tech and phys ed, and similar to you, and you're talking how the first part of your speech there, you weren't focusing on the technology, but rather focusing on the state of phys ed. That's what I like, how I go about it too. I talk about the fact that, you know, our goal as teachers, our main outcome has to be student learning.
Yeah.
And how do we take our students from a place where they don't know something to a place to where they do? And you know, we have all kinds of tools that we can use to get them there. So there's no good or bad tools. They're just tools that are not aligned with learning and tools that are. So how can we make sure that everything that we're doing is aligned with learning? So that's kind of how I built on it from there. And people really appreciated it. I felt bad because, like I told people at the beginning of the session, like, I geek out with that stuff, so I can get going and wind up talking too much. And I went a little bit over my time, but I'm really happy. It went great. Funny story. The next day, the team at TAPE invited me. They asked me if I wanted to go golfing. Now, I'm just going to put it out there before they do. I am terrible at golf. I don't golf. I'm just really, really bad. And at first I was like, oh, I don't know. It was the day of the Phys Ed Summit, which we're going to talk a little bit about later. So I was like, oh, I kind of want to see the PD there. But he's like, you know what? No, they're inviting me. Cape Breton's notorious for like beautiful golfing. And I was like, I go. So I played 9 holes. And poor Steve Rani, the president of Tape, I lost 6 balls on 9 holes. I just felt like such an idiot. There was a whole bunch of us. There was like 14 of us when we were first starting. And then we broke off into like foursomes and threesomes. He was like, hey, Joey, I'm putting you on the spot. You got to open this up here. You're teeing off. And I was like, holy, okay, I'll go. And I just hit the ball. And it was just a terrible slice. I think I knocked it into like another course somewhere else on the island. It was really bad. But you know, it was a lot of fun. I was there with, I got to hang out with Cole Wilson, who's from SPIA, where I was speaking in SPIA earlier this year. And then Ross Campbell, who's from the New Brunswick Phys Ed Association. And I'm hoping I'm going to get that out to New Brunswick next year. We were talking about it. But just great guys, and it was a ton of fun.
You have to get.
I was really glad I was out of Nova Scotia.
You have to get Andy Vasily to give you some golf lessons next time you guys are together.
Oh yeah, and I know he's really keen on it, and I always try to avoid it because I know how bad I am.
Yeah, but he takes it. From what I've heard from Ross Halliday, he definitely takes it quite seriously, and almost. I don't want to say that he cheats, but I think he finds creative ways to make sure that he's on top at the end of the day. So we'll just leave it there, I think.
And he's a creative machine. He's going to find a... cheating if it's a loophole. If you find a loophole, you're good. Exactly. Just being innovative. That's what I tell my students. Yeah. what's the difference between cheating and being innovative?
Yeah, no, definitely. So you had Tape, and then you've just come back from Wisconsin, and I saw you... I saw that you went for a run with Matt Pomeroy. How did that go? Were you able to keep up with the legend?
Oh yeah, I think Matt was going at a very leisurely pace. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go here. So my routine when I'm speaking is I get up early. I try to get up as early as I can, and I go for a run. Not a long run, just like 20 minutes, just wake my brain up and get thinking about stuff and getting pumped up. And then I go back to my room. I go over my keynote one last time, and then I go. So when I was going for a run, before I mentioned Matt, just getting to Wisconsin was quite the adventure. I flew from Montreal to Chicago, and I was supposed to fly Chicago to Madison, and I was going to be picked up by somebody in Madison. But my flight Chicago to Madison was canceled. So here I am freaking out. They canceled it like 30 minutes before I was supposed to take off. By the way, I'm never flying United again. I'm putting it out there.
Okay. I'll second that. I've had some pretty bad United experiences.
It's just the worst. But here I am, I can't use my phone cause I'm in the States. I'm trying to reach people at WHP and like everything's glitching. The Wi-Fi keeps giving out. I'm like, holy heck, like how the hell am I going to get out to Wisconsin? So the girl I'm talking to, the girl at the kiosk at United, and she's saying that, oh, you know, like you could fly to Milwaukee. And I was like, who's going to pick me up in Milwaukee? Like, I don't have anybody pick me up. And I was like, wait a second. And I knew that my buddy, Ryan Foy, who's a wellness RF on Twitter.
Yep.
Ryan was in Chicago and he was driving out to the conference. So I connected the internet quickly and I try to call him on Skype and I reach him. And I was like, buddy, are you anywhere near Milwaukee? He's like, yeah, I'm like 60 miles out. He's like, can you pick me up in Milwaukee? He's like, yeah, man, no problem.
Yeah.
So I hop on the flight and 15 minutes later, the flight takes off. Like it was like I had a 20-minute window for this to work. I land in Milwaukee. Ryan picks me up. He drives me out. And that's it. And then Ryan connected with Matt that evening while I was like going over my stuff in my room. And the next morning, Ryan's like, Ryan was staying with me, and he was like, "Hey, Matt wants to go running with us." I was like, "Oh, geez."
Yeah.
And now I have to go. Now I have to go running with Matt Pomeroy, which I was really excited about because he's awesome. But also a little nervous because the man's a beast.
Yeah.
But it was a great run. We weren't running outside. We were running outside the resort and everything, and you know. It's so nice when you meet somebody you know from the community and they're exactly the way you imagine they would be.
Yeah.
And Matt is exactly the way I imagined he would be. He's just, first of all, he's in crazy good shape, but he's also just the kindest, just nicest guy you could imagine.
I imagine him as just, like a gentle giant.
Oh, first of all, he's got a lot of really, really positive energy and he's just so nice. Like just, he's very, very like a... I'm not saying like kind of just like calm and like like just talking to you. Anyways, just great, great guy. And I'm really happy he was giving a session on Google Drive, and he just had a packed house. There was so many people in there. And awesome. He was killing it. He was doing such a good job presenting. He had a today's meet going that was really active. And no, he's a heck of a guy. And I said it in my keynote, I'm going to say it again here. There's something in the water in Wisconsin that just makes for amazing, they call it Phi Ed.
Yeah.
Makes for amazing Phi Ed teachers.
Yeah.
You know, getting to see Joe Bailey again and Crystal Goritz, and just so many people. I got to meet Michael Berenger and all the people down at University of River Falls where I was in the spring. Like, there's just so many great teachers in Wisconsin who are really doing everything they can to raise the bar for phys ed or Phi Ed.
Fired, yeah. And I was watching following the hashtag, and it just looked like a heap of fun. And then I sort of started to remember back to last year's WHP conference, and then I was sort of reflecting and just thinking, like, how awesome's this that, like, I've 2 years in a row felt like I've sort of in some way been a part of a conference that's on the other side of the world. So yeah, it was great. Like, looked like the night session was good there as well. It looked like some good dancing going on the dance floor there.
Oh, there was definitely some dancing going on, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It was a great time. The place where we were staying, the Kalahari Resort, was just, it was like this jungle theme, like massive place with like just a gigantic indoor water park and everything. So, you know, the place is built for fun. So, and everybody was there was down for fun. So it was a great time. There were a lot of teachers there. There was 800 teachers there. Oh, wow. There. Yeah. Presenting in front of 800 people, that's a huge crowd. So that was really cool. I'm really glad I got to experience that. Again, I'm just super grateful for all the people at WHP and all the people at TAPE. These last 2 weeks have been wild, but it's been amazing. And for me as a teacher, I feel like I got so much out of it as well. So, yeah, it was a great, great time.
Awesome. Yeah, like the other thing that I did, I was lucky, which is, I guess, a little bit different. Like, we've sort of talked about conferences and stuff, but like I mentioned before, I got a chance to go and visit a school in Vietnam, International School of Ho Chi Minh City.
Yeah,
and that was really cool as well, because it was a very different experience. Like, I sort of got to spend 3 days with just their PE department, as if I was part of their department basically. And they made me feel super welcome. It was, you know, one of those cases of like a very small world again, when I arrived there and realized that, one of the girls that I'd been emailing back and forward with, I knew she was from Tasmania. But then I got there and realized that, like, I went to school with her brother and I knew her dad.
Oh, no way.
And then one of the other staff members, I'd just taken my American Red Cross first aid with her mum. It was just like one of those experiences where you're just like, man, this world is small, that you can go to another country and run into people that sort of you have connections with. So that was, yeah, that was really cool. Got to spend the 3 days there with their sort of elementary and their sort of high school staff, and did a combination of some team teaching, some demo teaching. We looked at some different ways for them to sort of like change some of the things that they were doing, or just like enhance some of the things they were doing. And I got a heap of ideas from being there, and they got ideas from me. So it was a really, really cool experience. And yeah, I want to give a shout out to one of the teachers there. I'll shout out to all of them, but in particular, Albie. He's another one of these gentle giants, a bit like Matt Pomeroy. He's a big, Samoan guy. And, you look at him and you just think, man, that guy's just going to crush me. But just like when I saw him interact with the kids, I was just like, this guy is awesome. Like, he just like speaks in such a soft voice, and like, just the kids love him so much. And the reason I'm giving him a shout out is cause, I have to give him a ninja tag, this is a game that they play there with all the kids. So it's this like never ending game of tag, okay, where like anybody can get tagged, and somebody is the ninja tag at any point. And so I got ninja tagged by him as I was on my way out the door. So I haven't been able to get him back. So this is my chance to ninja tag him back, and hopefully he's listening, and then he'll be the one stuck with the tag.
That's great.
But yes, it was a cool experience. And you know, like I said, just a different type of PD. Again, like I think, I don't know, you'll probably agree with me, but like it's really fantastic that, you know, we get these opportunities to go out and share what we're doing with other people and sort of connect with other people. But it's just as much a learning experience for us. And often like I probably take more away from doing that than maybe I contribute, which is maybe a little bit selfish, but It's, you know, such an amazing experience to go out there and share what you're doing. And like, for me, I just like, I feel like I'm just sharing like what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. I don't feel like I'm doing anything that super special. Just want to like sort of let people into to my gym and let them see what I'm doing and to see what other people are doing as well. So, you know, there's lots of ways you can do it. You can go to conferences, you can visit other schools, you can sort of connect online and stuff. And, you know, and the Phys Ed Summit, there's another way that those guys at Phys Edagogy have done a fantastic job just last weekend of setting that up and getting so many people to connect and start having these conversations around how we can improve the standard of PE.
You know, I just want what you were saying there about you getting something out of it. Like when I started my site started off as a blog because I was afraid of getting rusty because I didn't have a teaching contract and I wanted to make sure that I was staying up to date with everything that was happening in physical education. To this day, you know, like my site's mission is to help teachers be the best that they can be. And I believe in that mission and I really want to try to achieve that mission. But a lot of it's just still me trying to be the best teacher I can be. And just learning from these teachers, you know, like a lot of people, when they see my keynote, they say, oh, you know, it's great because you never really focus on yourself. You're talking about all these other people. You're talking about us. And because it's not about me, it's not about me going up there and like talking about all this. I wouldn't be the teacher I am if it wasn't for all the amazing people I've been able to connect with. And just like so many, even teachers who may not realize, you know, it's just little ideas here and there that have helped me be a better teacher. And I'm so incredibly grateful for this community. And I believe in this community. And I'm later on, we'll talk a little bit about this thing that I'm calling phase two here. But this movement is important. And the people who are supporting this movement are important. And that's all that matters to me. And that's all I want to push forward.
Yeah.
If we can just keep getting people online and keep getting people sharing, really what we're going to be able to achieve is going to be incredible. And we're at that tipping point now where, you know, we're at that point now where it's great because people who are just signing up for like just getting online, they're getting online and there's a ton of amazing activity happening.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, I see the value of this right away. Whereas it used to be you'd sign up, you'd get online and you didn't necessarily see it right away because there wasn't as much going on. But now there's so much going on. You were just mentioning the Phys Ed Summit. The Phys Ed Summit is an incredible, incredible achievement. And hats off to everybody at Phys Edagogy. And especially I know Naomi busted her butt on the Phys Ed Summit. I was talking to Matt about it. And he was saying, you know, Naomi was incredible because she worked so hard on making sure all the tech side of things worked. The Phys Ed Summit is an example of a bigger problem that we can fix as a community. And they nailed it. And that problem is, how do we get high quality professional development that's organized and meaningful to as many teachers as possible? And making it as accessible as possible. You know, there was no fee for the Phys Ed Summit. It would have been really easy for them to charge a fee.
Yep.
There's no fee for the Phys Ed Summit. It was everybody's invited. Everybody's allowed to contribute. And it was just an incredible, incredible thing. And I feel really guilty because these last 2 weeks have been crazy. I haven't even had a chance to check it out yet. But I just think I'm just so happy that they moved forward with it and that they were able to knock it out of the park the way that they have. And again, this is just opening up the doors for so many other massive problems that we're going to be able to tackle as a community.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I think like I second everything that you've just said. Like it is, you know, like you said, it's not about the people who are currently sort of like being invited to go and speak at these things and stuff that are like, we're not the experts on everything. But like, we've been lucky enough that, you know, people have asked us to come and do it. But like you said, the same thing is like a lot of the stuff that I talk about when I go and do things is other people's work that I've taken and I want to like, I just want to be the sort of the spokesperson for those people. And like you said, like the Phys Ed Summit solved a problem. And this is what I try and say to people with the online community is like, it's not, you don't be afraid of going online. Like you just need to see it as like, imagine that we could get like there's an estimate, you know, I think people have put out there like 10,000 PE teachers on Twitter, maybe. Imagine like all we're doing is we're literally putting 10,000 PE teachers in a room together. And if we could do that physically, it'd be amazing. but we can't. So what's the next best thing to do is to connect online. Like, that's the power of technology, is the ability to be able to connect with people anywhere in the world at any given time and share your ideas, which is exactly what you're doing when you go to a conference or when you do some team teaching with somebody. So, you know, we're really lucky that we have this community. And like you said as well, you know, that the fact that the Phys Ed Summit was free, like, that's incredible, because I follow some other sort of, like, I try and follow lots of different areas of education and other things online. And I often see people like this, and I've got a friend here in Singapore, Rob Newbury, he's a head of IT at a school here. And he talks about, like, the edu celebrity, the rise of the edu celebrity. And you see it, you see it all the time. Like, somebody who's an educator does something that's cool and innovative, and then all of a sudden they're asked to present at a conference, and then all of a sudden they're selling something, and then all of a sudden they're not teaching anymore, they're consulting, and then all of a sudden, like, they've lost their connection to what they were doing in the first place. And I feel super lucky that our phys ed community isn't really like that. Like, everybody is just there to support each other and to make everyone the best that they can be. And, like, nobody has ulterior motives that they're trying to do things to sort of big up themselves or make themselves the top of the tree. Everyone's sort of working together to make our profession a better profession and make people see how important PE is for our students.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I was in Nova Scotia, I had an amazing heart-to-heart with a very, very special person, and that's Amanda Stanek. And, you know, I knew Amanda from online. Like, you know, we joke, we call her Firecracker and everything. Yeah. And I'd met Amanda once before in Winnipeg, but just briefly. And Amanda's hotel room was right beside mine. So, like, the last night we were there and everything, he says, you know, I want to say goodbye. So I knocked on the door and she was just there, like, hanging out. And we wound up having, like, a two-hour-long conversation. And Amanda's just incredible. And I was really not, I don't want to say surprised, but it caught me off guard as to how actually kind and genuine and knowledgeable and just amazing that Amanda is as a person. And she was talking to me because, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, I try to put a lot of work into the site. I haven't been able to lately just between this speaking and starting at my new school. But there's a lot of stuff that I have, like, in the pipeline and that I'm really excited to put out. And yeah, there might be times where I might ask, like, a little bit of a fee for some things that I might do in the future, just because it's a huge amount of work.
Yeah.
And I feel, but here's the thing, and Nathan, you know about it because we've talked about these projects I'm working on. I've been talking about them for like 2 years now, and I haven't put them out because one of the big reasons is that I feel so guilty asking for people to pay for something that I just want to give away for free, but the amount of time I have to put into it, that, like, it doesn't make sense to give it away for free. And I was talking to Amanda about this, and Amanda was saying, like, you know what, Joey, don't feel bad, because what you're doing is providing a service, is providing a lot of value, and people will be happy to support you. And she's just, you know, she's just giving me such great advice. And Amanda, if you're listening, I just want to say again, thank you. You wrote me a wonderful email, and I haven't had a chance to get back to it yet. But it meant so much to me. And when we were talking to Amanda just wrote the new curriculum for Nova Scotia. And I asked her this question, and again, she wrote a curriculum that's going to help every child in Nova Scotia be that much more physically literate by the time they graduate school.
That's awesome. And,
like, talk about a life achievement.
Yeah.
Right? Think of all the lives, and not just one generation of kids, but probably multiple. You know, these curriculums stay around for a while. Multiple generations of kids who are going to benefit from her work. And I hope she realizes how special that is. And she was just... You know, Amanda talks about physical literacy. She gave some some sessions on physical literacy in the new curriculum. And I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned on the podcast before. I actually don't like the term physical literacy. It's not that I don't like the term physical literacy. I didn't like it because it was a buzzword in my mind.
Yep.
Everybody all of a sudden was talking about physical literacy. Nobody could really explain what it was. And people were starting to replace physical education with physical literacy. And I didn't like that because I didn't want to just give up on phys ed. You know, yeah, phys ed has been part of my language here, but I'm going to be honest. Phys ed has been shitty for a while.
Yeah.
All right. For a couple of generations here, but we are changing it, and we are raising the bar, and we're making it into a high quality subject matter that we can be proud of. Now, physical literacy is not you don't all of a sudden have a physical literacy course just because the phys ed programs haven't been good for a while. Physical literacy is an outcome of high quality physical education. Yeah. And that's the way that Amanda was talking about it. And she had one slide, by the way, that was amazing because, you know, Nathan, you and I, we talk a lot about technology in phys ed. Amanda had a slide because she's talking about physical literacy as being confident and competent in a wide variety of physical activities in a wide variety of contexts that benefit yourself, others, and your community. And she has a slide where you have a kid like swimming in water, a kid's running through a field, a kid's skating, and another kid snowboarding. And she's showing, and she said, you know, a wide variety of contexts. And she's like, where's the fancy gym in there?
Yeah.
Like, where's the crazy technology? You don't need like the best of the best equipment. You don't need the best of the best technology. You don't need the highest state of the art fitness facility to be able to help your students develop their physical literacy. You just need to focus on doing a good job as a teacher. And I thought that was such a powerful slide.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm
so glad.
Even if you look at,
I'm so glad Amanda's sharing it the way that she is.
Sorry to interrupt you there. I was going to say, even if you look at like one of the things that I like constantly, you know, people, when you speak to people about their situations, is they're saying, oh, well, my facilities are so bad at my school, or like, I don't have a gym, or I don't have this, or I don't have that, or my equipment's old and stuff. And like, yeah, like that can be a problem. Like my school is like the facilities that for PE aren't great, but it doesn't matter. Because you use what you have to do exactly what you've just said. Like, make the best of the situation you have. You don't need to have the best of the best of the equipment, or like a fancy gym with, you know, this, that, and the other. Like, you just need a place for kids to get out there and move in meaningful ways. So, you know, like that's one of my big gripes, is like when people say, well, I can't do that because I don't have the facilities.
No, that's it. It's excuses. And you know what? Us phys ed teachers, we're really good at coming up with excuses, because for a long time it was part of the phys ed culture was to come up with excuse, be, oh, I can't assess my students because I have too much coaching, or, oh, like, you know, my students, I just focus on getting them moving because I can't actually teach them anything because I don't have enough time with them.
Yeah.
We're really good at coming up with excuses. And I don't just think it's phys ed teachers. I think it's educators in general. We can't afford to make up excuses. We can't afford to like be wasting time, this valuable time that our students have with us. You know, I forget who it was that told me this, but he said, you know, when your student shows up to your class, and let's say they're 8 years, 10 months, and 3 days old, they're only ever going to be 8 years, 10 months, and 3 days old once. Make it count.
Yeah.
Forget about all these excuses. Oops, I just knocked something off. Yeah. I'm getting too passionate here. I'm knocking things off my desk. Forget about all these excuses. Forget about everything that's supposedly holding you back from creating a quality experience for this child. And just do your freaking job and make it count for this kid, because that's what they deserve.
Yeah. Amen.
So I got worked up on that.
I can imagine.
So
I just had an image of you like being like Oprah, just like waving your hands around, like going crazy.
I'm about to flip my desk here, Nathan.
What's that?
I'm about to flip my desk.
Yeah. No, I look forward to the day that I get to meet Amanda in person. And like, I know that obviously we connect online and stuff, and I can just tell that like, she's an amazing mother and an amazing advocate for PE and stuff. And like, we actually just this week, like here again is the power of the online community. Like she every now and then she sort of like sends a tweet out saying like, oh, like check out what I cooked tonight, like this amazing healthy like organic meal, and so she sent something out like that, and then like Adam Howe sent, oh well, I tried to do this, and a photo of what he'd cooked, and then I just sort of like jokingly tweeted back saying like, oh, we should start a phys ed cookbook, and within 3 hours the project had begun, and so now that this is a new project that we're going to start up, and I'm going to be blogging about it pretty soon. It's like the phys ed cookbook, and Amanda's idea was brilliant. She's like, this is the reason that we should do this is so that we can give access to this to families within our schools to help the students, basically like to help the families in the schools to understand what an easy and healthy meal for them to cook for their family is. So that's our plan, is to crowdsource a heap of really healthy recipes from different people all around the world. And then we'll sort of do it up into a nice looking, ebook or something like that, and then just ship it out there free for everyone to share with their school communities, to try and just basically help people to be healthier and live more healthy and balanced life. So yeah, we're going to be sort of like blogging about it soon, and we'll get it out there. So if you have any really healthy, good recipes out there, then feel free to add them once we get it out there.
See, and again, this is what I'm talking about. This is, we have the numbers now. We can do projects like this, and we can put together projects like this in record time, because we have 10,000 people in the community. We have such an incredible knowledge base amongst us that we can get this work done really, really fast and in high quality as too. And I know, like, I wasn't sure if I wanted to talk about it today in the podcast, and I'm not going to, but there's a couple projects too that I'm currently working on that I'm going to be setting up, and I'm hoping to get one of those projects out this week. But this is what I'm talking about. We're at the next phase now. You know, I joke around. I was talking to Ryan about this, Ryan Foy, and I told you too, where phase one was, okay, let's get everybody online. Let's get people connecting. Let's get people to see the value of building their online network. Phase two is, all right, let's get things done now.
Yeah.
So what can we actually do together that will help us raise the bar even further for phys ed? And you know, like examples like that, and even like, you know, the first thing I tried to do with that was like the phys ed playlist project, where like people could submit songs that they use in their phys ed teaching in the different categories. I know you saw like those playlists filled up like instantly. And that's what I'm talking about. We can get high quality work done super fast.
Yeah. And it's for the benefit of everyone. And that's the thing, like, you know, like you said before, people who are just coming online now can go out there and you know, they're searching and they find that information straight away. And here's a really high quality resource that exists that like 2 or 3 years ago didn't. That wasn't there. Those things weren't there for people to help them to be better. And so then they did fall back into their usual sort of ways of doing things. So I think the more sort of stuff that as a community we can collaborate on and we can get out there, like, it's only going to make, you know, that becomes the new normal. And then people sort of want to try these new and different ways of doing things, which are so, and it's not just new and different and sparkly and shiny and new. All these projects are being done, like you said, by people who are really extremely knowledgeable about what they're doing. So it's only going to improve student learning.
Yeah. Which is really what we need to be focused on. You know, I'm like, okay, so at St. George's, okay, so let's get into teaching. Yeah. I'm getting all fired up. Maybe I'm about to stand up here. So at St. George's, so I work at St. George's School in Montreal. And I get there and, you know, there's St. George's is huge on curriculum, but there wasn't much that was done in phys ed. You know, they had some program there, but and it was a good program, but like the links back to our provincial curriculum weren't quite as strong, let's say. So one of the reasons that St. George's has been so understanding with me leaving and going to do the speaking stuff is because in return for me going representing the school and obviously getting a lot of value out of it and bringing those ideas back to the school, I'm also going to get to lead some PD for our phys ed department. And one of my big objectives here is to have a strong curriculum for the school. So what we're doing, so the school has incredible curriculum maps. So just like the scope and sequence for every program, and not just like based off of our progressions of learning here for a provincial curriculum, but actually tailored to the school's needs, which is really cool. Yeah, and it's awesome. A lot of work. So I want to do that for phys ed because it wasn't done for phys ed yet. And when I was looking at these maps, I was like, man, these look exactly like Shape America's grade level outcomes. So I went to my head of curriculum at the school and we sat down and we discussed it. And I was like, you know, could we base this off these GLOs? And she's like, yes. And we talked about, like, you know, we have to make sure it meets the school's needs. We have to make sure that it's aligned with our provincial curriculum because of how our school's set up, we do have to follow the provincial curriculum to a certain degree. And we also have to make sure that we're not trying to cover too much. Like, we have to be realistic into what we can cover. So I got the okay to go with the Shape GLOs. So what I'm going to be doing is that I'm going to be looking at the grade level outcomes. I'm going to be unpacking them. And then when it comes down, and by the way, there's an amazing, amazing video out there called How to Design a Standards-Based Lesson. It's by Terry Drain, who's a teacher out in California. It's an incredible video. We're going to put it in the show notes below. I'm working with Terry. I've contacted her because I want to blog about this stuff. I want to help her develop this resource even further. Because honestly, when I saw that video, it completely changed the way I saw about unpacking and backwards design. And even though I'd been doing that stuff for Purposeful Phys Ed for a while, it was just great seeing how visual it was and how easy it was with these grade level outcomes. So anyways, I'm unpacking the grade level outcomes, and then when it comes down to the content blocks and the learning blocks, that's where I'm going to be lining it up with the items from our progressions of learning. So not only am I going to be using the grade level outcomes for our overall mapping, but we're going to be tailoring it so that it all fits into our provincial curriculum as well, so that we are teaching, assessing based off of our three competencies here.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I'm saying this is because the first step in all this for me was to type up the grade level outcomes. Because when I have, like, I did the same thing with the progressions of learning way back when I have them typed up into a spreadsheet, it's way easier for me to be actually able to work with them, just copy and paste as I go about my planning. And I put it out on Twitter. I know Sarah Gitcher and a few other people, like, was like, oh, I think we could take the GLO PDF and you import it to Word, you could, like, take the text and everything. I was like, you know what? I sat down, I took 2 hours, and I typed up all the grade level outcomes for grades 1, 2, K1, 2, and 6. We have so many people online. I put the link out there, and I was surprised nobody wanted to jump in, and I'm going to put the invite out there again. Just type up a few. If everybody just types up a few, we'll have it done in an hour, not even.
Yeah.
And then we'll all be able to use this document for our own purposes. And that's an example of what I'm saying is that, like, let's take advantage of the numbers. Let's take advantage of this collective passion we have, and let's just get things done that are going to help us get phys ed to where we want it to be faster.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We've had a pretty similar sort of situation at our school where we've sort of over the last 6 months or so within our PE department, or like every department in the school, but within our PE department, we now have from K1 to grade 12, learning outcomes and benchmarks for PE basically. And we decided to split PE into, I think there's 6 or 7 different strands. Things like we have like a strand, which is games. We have movement as a strand. We have, individual pursuits. We have, adventure activities, you know, all of these different strands. And then within that, we now have an aligned, K to 12 learning outcome and benchmark sort of document. And that's just been approved and loaded into we use a program called ManageBack, which is like a learning management system. So that's where all our planning and reporting and stuff goes. And that's been uploaded into there. And like, to be honest, like when I was doing this really tedious task of getting it all together and deciding what we were going to do, it was, I couldn't see the end game. But now that it's done, like the impact that it's had on my day-to-day teaching and how I teach has been amazing. Like the unit that I'm teaching right now in Invasion Games, like the fact that I have these learning outcomes and benchmarks that are like tailored to my school and tailored to our situation. Like I know now what I need to teach, how I need to teach it, how I'm going to assess it. And like, it solved the issue for me that like, I felt like one of the areas of weakness in my teaching was I was really good at starting units and really good at getting kids thinking about and inquiring into why certain things were within, so like a game, Invasion Games or whatever, like how they worked, why they worked like that, different roles within a team, but it would always fall flat in the middle. And then I was good at assessing it, but not much in between. But now that I have these things that are there to help me sort of understand where I need to get to at the end of it, it's like my day-to-day teaching is just has exploded. Like I feel so much more confident about what I'm doing.
Oh, absolutely. I'm the same way. Like this year, I really feel like I've taken my teaching to the next level. And a big part of it is because of the fact that, like, I saw this video by Terry Drain. I saw how you can unpack the GLO, so I'm working along with that. You know, like, for example, working with the locomotor grade level outcomes for K1 and 2. In grade 1, let's say, the kids have to be able to run, skip, hop, gallop, and slide using a mature pattern. So, okay, so I unpack that grade level outcome. So I break it down. I take the action words. And then once it's broken down into the content, and I determine, here's a big thing, is when you understand the critical elements of whatever it is you're looking for, when you actually take the time to break it down, it makes it so much easier for you because then you know exactly what you're looking for. You know exactly what kind of feedback you have to provide. And you know exactly how you should be designing your activities to help your students put into practice those critical elements of whatever it is. And obviously standard 1 is very skill-based, but still. So I've broken it down. I've done this amazing, like this fundamental movement skill unit. But again, start with the outcome, then determine what's the appropriate evidence. what are the appropriate assessment tools for that kind of evidence? And then from there, I go into my planning. And it's been amazing because my classes are very short. I have 35 minutes with my students twice a week. And we've been able to achieve so much just looking at this content. And another thing I took from Terry here, and I'm going to promote this woman as much as I can here because her video was great. And getting to talk to her, she gets it. Like, she knows what needs to happen in phys ed. But another thing I took from her is on my whiteboard, I have what, why, and how for every lesson. So the what is, what are we learning today? So for example, today we're learning how to skip using a mature pattern. And what I'll do is I'll underline the terms there that I want the students to co-construct. So I'll say, okay, skip. So what is skipping? And then I'll get the kids, like, you know, somebody will give an example. It's like, okay, in your words, how would you describe skipping? And then they'll do that. And then a mature pattern. So how do we understand that? And, you know, the students say, well, mature means like old. It's like, okay, does it mean old or does it mean fully developed? It's like, okay, fully developed. And what's a pattern? Pattern is something that repeats itself. So I want my students to understand these terms because there's no point in me moving forward if they don't get it, but yep. I want them to come up with their own definitions. So that's our what. Then the why, and the why is so important. My school is really big on understanding by design. So how does this tie into a greater context? How does this fit into like these concepts? And speaking of understanding by design, if you're not following Mark Williams online, you need to follow him. And Mark, I'm calling you out on the podcast. I've sent you several DMs. We've had great conversations. I want you to start a blog.
Yes, do it.
Okay, start your blog, Mark. I'm on you. Yeah. And now everybody's going
to
be
honest. I know where he lives, so I'll go to his house and I'll break his door down and make sure he does it.
So the why. Okay, so why are we learning about skipping? Well, skipping is a fundamental movement skill. And again, I'll get the kids to define what does that mean. That is essential to participating in different sports and activities. Okay, so yeah, what different sports and activities? Where could you use skipping? We'll have a discussion on that. And then the last part is so important. It's the how. How will I know I have learned this? So what kind of knowledge, what kind of skills should I have by the end of this class? And getting the kids to understand that before the lesson even starts. How? Okay, well, you should be able to name the critical elements of skipping. You should be able to perform using a mature pattern that we talk about. Okay, what does that mature pattern look like? So that when we come back to our discussion at the end of class, we're looking at that how, we have a discussion surrounding those elements that we've outlined, and the kids are able to see if, okay, did I actually pick this up today? And you know, not all the kids jump into the conversation. I haven't started using much technology yet because I haven't gotten to the point where I'm ready to start implementing some of those routines. But when I start using Google Drive again, and I get my kids filling out the forms, because what happens in those discussions, you know, it's always the same kids raising their hand. And Joël Boutiette, who's a French teacher here, I've mentioned him before, really, really smart here in Quebec. He said, use Google Drive because then you're getting every kid to answer the question.
Exactly.
And you have a much better idea of where every kid's at in their level of knowledge and their mastery of whatever outcomes it is that you're working on.
Yeah.
So no, it's like you said, man, when you have a strong curriculum, and this is one of the big problems that's plaguing our profession because a lot of teachers don't use curriculum. But when you have a strong curriculum that's easy for you to understand and you understand how to break it down, you automatically, your teaching just goes to the next level because everything you do has a purpose. Everything you do, it's not just wasted time. It's aligned with learning, and that's what we need to be doing as educators.
I like, I've got 10 minutes to go until this class is done, and then I can like start afresh. Like when you've got that curriculum and that stuff behind you, you can just sort of like, the day just goes super quick and the lesson goes quick, and like you're hitting all of those things that you want to hit. And like, I don't know, just for me, it makes my job more worthwhile. If you're just there throwing a ball out and letting the kids play a game, like it gets pretty old pretty quick. Like, you know, it's not doing any good for you, and it's not doing any good for the kids as well. But it's super interesting what you're saying about like the way that you underline the words and stuff, because that's something that I've been doing really recently as well with my invasion games unit. Like, so like we have within the PYP inquiry based program, like we have like a central idea, which is sort of like the big idea of every unit. So like my central idea at the moment is, by keeping control of an object and moving as a team to advance into the other team's zone, we can score points. So what I've done is I've highlighted the key parts of that central idea. So in one color, I have keeping control of an object. Then in another color, I have moving as a team. And then another color, advance into the other team's zone. And then the final color is score points. And I found like by doing that, the kids just understand it so much better. Because if I just had that up on the board or I read it to them. It's just a heap of words that don't mean anything to them.
Yeah, and it's also a ton of content. So unless you break down that content, it's going to be really hard for them to master all of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like we've been talking about it being like a pyramid, and like the base of the pyramid is keeping control of an object. Like if your team can't keep control of the object, then you're not going to be able to move as a team. And then you're not going to be able to go into the other team's zone, and you're not going to be able to score points. So like you need to have the base to build the pyramid on. So it goes, it's like the cupcake analogy as well, that, you know, but like just, yeah, the way that it's sort of like the kids just have seemed to get it more now. And it's just something little like coloring some words or underlining some words, some key words, and using those as, you know, like you said, breaking it down and making it more friendly for the kids and easier for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? It's not just about your day going by faster. It's your day gets really busy. Like I find like my days at St. George's are just flying by. And first of all, I'm having such a huge amount of fun because, you know, speaking at conferences is amazing. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to go do that. I miss my students. Yeah. I had to miss Halloween at my school. And I was looking at the pictures and I haven't known these kids for very long, but man, do I ever freaking love teaching. Yeah. And I just wish I was back there with them, and I can't wait to see them because, you know, my day is just blowing by because I'm having so much fun with these kids and having so much fun with the staff at St. George's. And the thing is, when I do have a spare, and I'm actually really I'm beyond lucky at St. George's because the teaching situation is just set up beautifully. I have so much opportunity for reflection and assessment, but during those prep periods, man, I'm busy. I'm going over all my video because I'm constantly taking video of the kids in class. I'm going over all the video. I'm analyzing. I'm filling out my numbers grade books. I'm trying to see, okay, what kind of feedback do I have to provide to this kid next class? I'm going over that. I'm busy. And by the end of the day, yeah, I'm exhausted. The day flew by. But I'm proud of the work I'm doing because I know I'm doing good work.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's a great feeling.
I know exactly. I know exactly what you feel like. I feel like I used to have so much more time during the day to do stuff that I wanted to do that was like personal stuff during the day. But now I don't have a second. I don't have a second to do anything other than like my job and do my job really well. So like, yeah, it's like you said, like you just, you know, it does get busy and stuff, but it's so, so worthwhile at the end of the day.
You know what? Like you teach the kids about passion and everything. You can live your life very comfortably and just kind of go through it. Or you can live your life with a ton of passion and just be alive every second of it. And it's way more worth it to feel alive every second. And when you're passionate, you're dedicated to the work you do. Because our lives, regardless of how you want to live it, your life is going to be full of work. But if you're passionate about that work, man, that's living right there. So yeah. I'm all fired up right now. I'm not even joking. I'm standing here as we're recording this podcast. I hope that if you're listening, you feel the same. Nathan, I know we've run out of time because we said that we were trying to keep this short and it didn't work out again. So how about we end things here?
Yeah.
I challenge everybody who's listening to figure out, okay, how can you go into work tomorrow on fire?
Yeah.
Feel that fire. Feel that passion.
Girl on fire. Man on fire.
And Nathan, you know what? We should get together this week and we should record part two of this podcast.
Yeah, let's do another one. We had a list of things that like I don't think we've even scratched
so
the surface
much stuff to talk
of
about.
The list that we wanted to talk about. So we'll try and get another one in soon. But thanks for listening. It's been, I'm all fired up now. Now I have to go to bed so I can get up and go to school tomorrow. So hopefully I can keep that passion and that fire burning tomorrow. I've got a heap of stuff planned for tomorrow. It's going to be heaps of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, Nathan, you have an awesome week teaching. We're going to talk this week. Everybody else who's listening, just go out, be the best teacher you can be this week. Okay. You've got this.
Yeah.
And we'll be you'll hear from us soon.
Okay. All right. Good to talk to you, man.
Great talking to you, man. Take care.
All right, bye.